The Hamilton County 911 Center will be celebrating National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, April 14th through 20th, with potluck lunches, internal awards, and a chance to be out of uniform for the week. The celebration may seem toned down on the surface, but the job of answering 911 calls and routing emergency services is vitally important to the community. I spent a few hours in Hamilton County's 911 Center to learn more about the people that answer your call for help. Not just anyone can answer the phone when you call 911 for assistance. Public safety telecommunicators are highly trained and prepared for the job, according to Tammy Chamberlain, the Training and Quality Assurance Supervisor.
You begin with classroom training that's about a month long. Then you go to the floor for your on-the-job training, and that'll make you eligible to be a call taker. After that, you go back to the classroom. We track you then, either EMS and fire or law enforcement, and that's the rest of your training.
When you pointed out the different areas in the room, does that mean calls are routed to different areas?
Initially, your call is routed to one of the call takers, and there they can answer administrative lines or 911 lines. They take that information and send it to the dispatchers who talk with the officers so they can focus on their radio traffic and officer safety.
Memories of some of the calls the public safety telecommunicators handle can be haunting, and everyone I spoke with paused thoughtfully before answering when I asked if there were any memorable or difficult calls.
The calls that typically touch me are calls that involve children or the elderly. I just feel like I need to protect them and help them the best I can. There are some calls that are tough, like children drowning calls. They're close to home. I had a family member that drowned at a young age. So after you take calls like that, you have to take a break and go out and collect yourself before you come back into work in order to move forward, I guess.
Maxwell Lee has been a telecommunicator with the Hamilton County 911 Center since 1995. He recalls some of the busiest days at the center.
Basically, inclement weather, like when the tornadoes come through, that's usually when we get our busiest time. That and when we get snow, if we get any accumulations, that makes it busy.
Now, there's an extensive training program to prepare you for this, but how do you prepare yourself for the calls that you may be receiving?
The telecommunicator field is starting to be recognized more as a profession, which it should be. We do more than just answer the phone and transfer calls. It's not the switchboard operator job a lot of people thinks it is. I would think that the majority of the public really has no idea as to what we actually do in here.
Do you have any stories of any calls that really deeply touched you that you would be willing to share?
I had a call one time. It was a 911 call. Of course, I answered the phone, 911, what's the location of your emergency? And a female on the other line said, I just need someone to talk to. She actually had a loaded gun in front of her, and she was very depressed. She lost her job. She broke up with her boyfriend, I think, and she was really down and out. She was reaching out for help. I was able to get help to her to help her out.
Just about any time that phone rings, it could be a life or death situation.
Yes, anytime.
Does that keep you in a level of stress, or are you confident that you can handle no matter what comes?
Of course, like you say, when the phone rings, we never know what that call is going to be, and you have to prepare yourself mentally for it. We just have to depend on the training that we get to make it through the call and to help the caller with what their needs are.
You ever been in a situation where you just couldn't help someone?
We're always able to help them if it's a police, fire, or ambulance type emergency. Sometimes people will call in with things that are outside of that realm. They should actually be calling City 311 or something like that for. But if it's a police, fire, or medical emergency, we have the resources available to us to respond to help them out.
Most of the people you help, you're a total stranger. They'll never meet you.
Yes, that's right.
Have you ever had an opportunity to meet someone you helped?
No, I haven't.
You're okay with that, no matter what?
Well, the telecommunicator really doesn't have that option. The police, fire, and EMS and rescue folks, you know, that are out in the field, they actually respond to the scene and they actually make physical contact or at least visual contact with the calling party. But with the telecommunicator, it's strictly over the telephone. I mean, there's some times that we really don't know what became of the call that we took. So, you know, I guess you can say we never really get closure on some of the calls that we take because we don't know the final disposition of them. When people call in, we have questions that we need answered. If they will be patient with us and answer the questions, a lot of people feel like that when we're asking them questions, that is delaying the responders coming to help them out. But it is not, because as we answer the questions and type them into the computer, someone else in the room is actually sending them the police, fire, or ambulance that they need. So those questions are not delaying their response time whatsoever. Matter of fact, answering those questions in a timely manner sometimes helps get them additional resources that may be needed for their particular situation.
Amy McBriar has been with Hamilton County 911 for 10 years. She uses her commute to help separate her home life from her job.
My husband and I both work here, and we just kind of talk to each other on the way in. Kind of, it's, wonder where I'm going to be today. What am I going to deal with? What am I going to be doing? And he'll say, well, I'm probably going to be here. We just banter back and forth, you know, just trying to get ourselves in a mind frame of being able to handle something as soon as we walk in. And if we need to, we can go directly to our channel, and we're ready for it. We drive about 45 minutes to get here from Bradley County, so we have plenty of time to get into the routine, and then we take it away in the evenings when we go home. We debrief each other on the way home. If we had a particularly busy day or stressful day or whatever, we can talk to each other about it, and we're normal people again when we get home to the kids.
You're with Hamilton County, and it's a pretty extensive area, but compared to a lot of major metropolitan areas, we're really kind of laid back.
Yes, we are. I've listened to New York, I've listened to Las Vegas and various places on the internet, and they have a completely different level of traffic. Ours during the summer months is completely blowing away from 8 o'clock in the morning until people decide to go to bed at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. We have very little lull times during the summertime, but it's like that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the major metropolitan areas. And I've listened to Knoxville. Theirs is about the same as us. Nashville is busier than us, and Memphis is a lot busier than us.
Like all of the telecommunicators I spoke with, Amy has a story of a call she will never forget.
My very first call that I took when I was signed off was Super Bowl Sunday. And the game hadn't even started yet, and three guys were arguing. And when I answered the phone, I heard a gunshot and a guy saying, one friend just shot another friend in the face. And I'll never forget that.
Many of the calls are life and death, danger and high emotion. What keeps these operators able to answer the next call that comes in?
They always give us the opportunity to go and walk it off, go take a breather, get something to drink, whatever we need to do. If you can go on immediately, you just do it. And if the phones are going crazy, you do it anyway, and then take a breather later.
If you had one piece of advice to give someone who might have an interest in this profession, what would you say?
Think long and hard before you come in here. It's a difficult job, and you deal with a lot of things that you wouldn't deal with ever in your other life. You have to learn how to shut this off and have a life. If you don't shut this off, then you're not going to have one. I catch myself a lot, and I have to stop and go, no, you can't think like that. This is your real life, not your work life. And I overanalyze things a lot, and I have to just step back and go, okay, that's enough. You're not doing this for a police officer. This is your family, or this is your real life.
If you did have an emergency, would you call 911?
In Hamilton County, yes. There's other places that I wouldn't, but in Hamilton County, I would. I wouldn't hesitate.
Amy McBriar sits at a table with several computer screens within reach. All of the graphics include multiple tabs to monitor a variety of agencies, including law enforcement, fire, rescue, and public services. She was in the process of describing the different information she can access when an actual 911 call came in. This recording has been edited for radio broadcast.
I keep tabs over here for this is my fire calls, and then I have medical calls here just because it helps me if somebody keys up and says, hey, where's the fire department going in my district? I can look and go, oh, okay, they're going to Frank's Road. This is a 911.
Where are they at?
Hamilton County 911, where's your emergency? Okay, what is your address there? Okay, and how long have they been unconscious? Okay, can you stay on the line with me, ma'am? Okay, and the patient's 11 years old. And are they in a car? Okay, is there anyone with the patient right now? Do we know what happened or anything like that? Okay, what's your phone number over there? Okay, is there any way that somebody can go out there with the patient so I can get some information? Or can we get somebody to come in to you so I can get some information? Can you ask him some questions for me? Okay, how long has he been unconscious? Eyes are open but not responding. Okay, can you ask her if he's diabetic? Okay, no heart problems. Okay, and he just said he didn't feel right and he passed out in the bathroom. Is that right? Tell her the ambulance is driving there. My partner already dispatched the ambulance to her and the fire department. She needs to stay where she's at so the ambulance can get to her. Okay, that should be my responders I hear pulling up on you. Okay, I'm going to get off the line with you and let them take it from here. Okay, thank you for calling, ma'am. Bye-bye. Now, he told his mom he didn't feel right when they got him up for school. Went to the bathroom, was getting ready and everything, and passed out in the bathroom. They scooped him up and for some reason drove to the MAPCO. I'm not sure why they didn't call 911 from home, but they're in the MAPCO parking lot with an unresponsive 11-year-old in their car. And like you said, you never know what you've got. I have an 11-year-old daughter. I would probably be freaking out too, even with all my training. But I do go into emergency mode, and he has opened his eyes now. The patient is opening his eyes. They said he's dazed and his eyes are glassed over, but he looks at them when they talk. So, and he does have a history of asthma. So it could have been breathing related. It could have been any kind of an incident. He could have just had a syncopal episode where he just passed out. Or it could be a more serious medical problem. But she was trying to get in her car and leave before the ambulance got there. The clerk finally got her just to stay put. And a deputy got out with him, and so he's not going to let her leave. That's why I was able to get off the phone. The deputies are trained for these kinds of incidents. They know what to look for and what to advise the dispatcher that EMS needs to know. So I was able to get off the phone because of that.
While you're on the phone, I could hear people from at least two or three other stations sharing information about the same situation. Mm-hmm. So it's more or less a team of people that work a call.
EMS was being dispatched, fire department was being dispatched, and the sheriff's department was being dispatched all at the same time while I was taking the call. And there was another call taker in the back that got another phone call about the unconscious 11-year-old. And she was getting the same information I did. See, it was Ruthie, medical history of asthma. She had already put that on there, so I didn't have to put it on there. And then PD en route as well, because D dispatch the sheriff's department because it's a child. Anytime there's a child, we send police in case they need an escort. And we'll run interference and stop traffic and everything else. I know in Chattanooga, I've had 3 different incidents with CPRs on a baby. And they had officers at every intersection. The ambulance scoops up the baby, the cops scoop up the people. And they weave through town. And they tell us each intersection they come to. And an officer will run up and stage at that intersection and block traffic so they can just go through without having to slow down.
Smooth, efficient, confident, words that describe the public safety telecommunicators on an emergency call. Just what you want when you call 911 for help. To all the voices on the phone and the staff that supports them, enjoy National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, and thank you for your dedication. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.